Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I am Stugar, joined along with Zentor and Vicious Jeff today. He decided to join us. It'll be a really fun episode. But before we get into everything, we got our sponsor here, the 46th Fleet. The 46th Fleet is the youngest of the Liberty Navy's primary formations. Initially, a mere strike force formed to serve as a proving ground for cadets. Fresh out of West Point, a recent naval restructuring has seen the 46 ascend the status of a full numbered fleet. Despite incurring much critique during its early days due to its use of controversial tactics, the 46 fleet has since earned its rightful place among its more veteran counterparts. The 46 fleet units can frequently be seen patrolling Liberty's shipping lanes, safeguarding her borders, and fending off attacks for both foreign and domestic. So, you want a nice Navy fleet to join? Join the 46 out of Liberty. Really fun group to fly around with. Zentor, we have somebody in the studio, ironically, that is the Admiral of the 46.
Yeah, joined with us today, we have a Libertonian obsessionist, the Dr. Psy, if that's the correct way to pronounce that.
Yes, it's Roman numerals, so... 11.
Okay. Oh, Dr. 11. Is that literally, by the way, have to do with Doctor Who? I think I've always thought of it as like Dr. Zai or something like that. But then I realized the other day that you have an avatar of the TARDIS. And I was like, wait, is that the 11th Doctor?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Right. So that's Matt Smith, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. David Tennant was better. Sorry.
You told me about that, Zentor. And I was like, yeah, because I've been saying Dr. She this whole time, like XI She, but no, he's Dr. 11.
The 11th Doctor. Well, welcome to the podcast. We're happy to have you. We know that you're very focused in Liberty, so we would like to go ahead and give you the floor. Tell us about how you came to Freelancer and eventually what led you to Discovery.
So, ironically, I actually picked up a disc copy of Freelancer, sort of just in passing, happened to be in town in my younger years, nipped into a game shop and seen it, and I thought, oh, this looks fun. Of course, back then, running I'll sort of describe it as a family PC, so obviously not a gaming rig.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're close to our generation then, if you actually got a CD-ROM of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, first time playing it, it was probably within a couple of months of release. Back in 03, and yeah, just started playing it, and then sort of had my brother also got into it as well. Yeah, sort of playing in multiplayer after several sort of run-throughs, and yeah, just having fun. And then, of course, Discovery came along much later. So I think I first joined Discovery, it was... probably, I want to say 2012 or 2013. I think it was 4.86 at the time. Yeah, it was around for...
Okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've just been sort of in and out of Discovery maybe three times, sort of to date. But yeah, as far as other communities or servers, surprisingly not. I wanted to dabble in the Crossfire, just for the sort of campaign and story side of that, but still haven't got around to doing that just yet. But that's still on my bucket list for Freelancer.
How'd you find Discovery?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I mean, you know, I think it's going to be very subjective to your sort of experiences, sort of who you know, who you play with. I think I've been quite lucky in sort of who I've befriended on the server. So I can't really say I've ever hated playing Discovery, and I don't think I ever will, because Freelancer, probably much like, you know, many other people in the community, is... kind of holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah, I think that his question was directed, though, like, what? Yeah. How did you discover?
I love the quote, England and America, two great nations separated by a common language. I love it. It was good. It's good information. But yeah, definitely more interested, how did you discover Discovery, or you know, was it like a random Google search, or did someone tell you?
Oh, I see. Right. I want to say it was from like a YouTube video. I think I was sort of looking at vanilla PvP fights at the time, and I can't remember whose video it was, but yeah, it definitely would have happened across a Discovery video, and I thought, wow, that looks like the best thing since sliced bread, and yeah, managed to sort of find the forums and whatnot, and just, yeah, get it downloaded, and it's
that's awesome.
There, really.
Since you've been a part of like the multiplayer community, like what aspect of the game is most interesting to you? Are you more like cap fighter, PvPer, trade, economic stuff? Like what's your cup of tea?
I like to sort of be diverse and experience all of it. I think primarily in terms of you know, maybe what I would consider myself to be good at would probably be the capital side of things. You know, I'm not bad in a snub, and you know, over the years there's been various mechanics and whatnot added that either make it sort of harder or a bit easier. And you know, of course, the PvP learning curve, both in snubs and capitals, you know, there's always someone better than you, I think. But yeah,
your name is Wesker.
It's an ever evolving.
So, well, that's really cool.
Landscape.
So I want to ask, go ahead, Zentar.
I was going to say, areas of lore. I know that you're currently, and as long as I've known of you, you've been Liberty focused. Have there been other areas of Discovery that you've participated in, like faction wise or other houses or anything like that?
My initial faction on returning this time, so I think I came back in, it would have been, I think, the year before sort of COVID and lockdown. So was that 2019, give or take, something like that?
Yeah, right around then. That was about the time when I was coming back too.
Yeah, my sort of first official faction, or even faction, right out of the gate was Universal Shipping. The official faction at the time. I think before that even, sorry, and you know, other times I've been playing. I've sort of spread my wings a little bit through the, I think 4.86, you had the Kasari Exiles.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Can't remember quite what the faction was named. But yeah, it's a bit of everything, really. Bounty Hunters. Generally, on the lawful side of things, I've never really been a
criminal.
Not necessarily a big advocate of the the sort of unlawful factions. Not for any particular reason. It's just, I think, my particular, I'll say, capabilities in roleplay sort of lean towards a lawful character. So, you know, typically Navy, police, and bounty hunters, and anything sort of trade related or trading related.
So real quick, give us your best quote from the freelancer when you're doing a mission and they're saying you mess with the Viper, you get the fangs. Give us your best quote of that.
Oh God!
pretend to be a pirate.
okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's all good.
Come on, Jeff. Jeff, you're up. Go.
Jeff, you're up. Go for it.
What? That's just that line?
Yeah. You have to say the line. You're in your best pirate voice.
You mess with the Viper, you get the fangs.
Oh,
I'm scared, man. I don't care if that's a hacker or a rogue, I'm gonna stay away from him.
I'm gonna watch those connect, man.
Yeah. I love it when you're doing the mission and they're saying it and you kill them in the middle of saying it. So it's like, you mess with the Viper, you get the, and then they start screaming.
They start screaming.
So, Doc, I want to ask you, so you joined back in 2013, 2014, you mentioned When you came back, 2019. So you didn't play the whole time. When did you take your time off from Discovery?
So if I remember rightly, so it was 2013 to about the tail end of 2014. Then I'd left, took a couple of years off, then came back in 2017 up until 2018, played for like another year. And then, yeah, more recently 2019, and sort of stayed the course, as it were, up until today.
Nice. So you've been around for quite a bit of Discovery's history. And you role play a lot. I noticed a lot of your interaction when you're server side is a lot of role play. What kind of role play do you like to interact with?
Generally anything sort of lawful. I definitely prefer the sort of military-esque role play side of things. I think responding to it, as in, you know, to see it and react to it, I just generally find that more comfortable for myself.
Gotcha.
Even just playing like a civilian character, I have tendencies to, you know, kind of occasionally slip in a sort of phrase or sentence that might lean more towards, you know, maybe being like a Navy character or police or something like that.
Gotcha. I do remember, I think you were in LPI with me for that little bit with, what's his name? Another Canadian guy. You remember that time? I think we flew together a couple of times. I don't know if you remember that. It was LPI.
Yeah. I can't remember their names. I feel really awful.
Yeah, I gotta look through, but... Yeah, that was kind of at the end. It's a shame LPI isn't around as much anymore, especially with the police siren thing. Get to peel off and go chase down the bad guys. That was a lot of fun.
Well, there's been a recent sort of resurrection with that. There is a sort of up-and-coming police faction, which I hope they go for officialdom. I'm sure they probably will. But you know how it goes on Discovery is quite a sort of time investment.
LSF, I've noticed there's a little handful of 3-4 LSF players that are getting together flying around. I don't know if they're role playing LSF. I see them doing a lot of combat, so I don't know if it's you know, PvPers looking for a new idea to fly around with or what that is, but it is pretty cool seeing the kind of the resurgence of lawfuls returning to Liberty, and Liberty kind of, because when I came back in 2019, around that time, kind of pre-COVID, it seemed like every day there was something big happening in New York. And a couple times that flying around on my Universal ship, and I would just squeak through a trade ring when a rogue or someone would be chasing me down trying to get me.
I remember those days as well. It was pretty much any time you just patrolling around New York, you know, you'd have the Xenos, the Rogues,
outcasts,
yep, big outcast fleet, nomads,
very
fucking
much
Rensors and docking from Rochester.
Absolutely,
it occasionally happens, but you know,
the one thing that I miss, and I guess this is my only real feedback for 46, is so when I came back, I joined the LN Liberty Navy first, and there were a few times they did some things where they kind of like locked down New York. So there would be like cruisers or gunboats or like a battleship parked on top of a trade ring, and everybody has to stop for a cargo scan and stuff. I do miss kind of some of that, you know, like we're cracking down on smuggling and we've locked everything down. Everyone has to stop and get scanned, you know, that nice kind of thing. But exactly. Yeah. And it could have been just a log time, really. But yeah, it was cool being a part of that a couple of times, flying around on my snub and, you know, having to run over to this jump gate or that jump gate because someone snuck through, you know, chasing down and all that fun stuff. So yeah, during the Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say we'd done that a few times, sort of in our earlier years. You know, just looking to kind of establish ourselves and, you know, try and RP with different people, obviously at different sort of points or entry points in this case to a particular system. And yeah, I think generally it's sort of well received, and yeah, it's good, all good fun.
That's awesome. Zentori, some questions for him.
I do. So 46th, they are one of the newer Liberty factions, but they've been around for several years now. Were you one of the founding members of 46th?
No, I was not. That was I can't remember his name, because I've never actually met him to this day. To
Renegade?
Not even Renegade. It was someone else.
Oh, really? I actually don't even know who founded 46. I just knew that they were like one of the new and upcoming Liberty factions when I first came to Discovery, I believe. And they've quickly become like one of the most active ones for a long, long time. There was LN and 5th and then 46 and then Lemons, the first Armada. But have you guys tried to kind of make yourself a little bit more niche or different than the other Navy factions, or like what really has what do you think like really differentiates you guys from the previous Navy factions there?
Yeah, I mean that's a really sort of solid question. I think of course with Disco being a role play environment, in terms of, you know, the RP aspect, it's sort of difficult to sort of do so. So I think what we've or certainly what I've tried to do, and of course all the members of the 46th have been brilliant in helping with that, is, you know, just to sort of act as you would, and to, you know, if you had such an encounter in space or out in the sort of open seas, because obviously we're not, you know, flying around in ships these days, but just to provide a really solid militaristic and good naval RP, which I think we do quite well. But as for sort of how we differentiate ourselves, you know, from the likes of the First Fleet, so LN, and the Fifth, that's a good question. I suppose fundamentally, we're all, of course, the same, because again, we're restricted by our ID line. So, yeah, I think the main point, not to, of course, say that the First Fleet or Fifth are, you know, anything but good or exceptional, is kind of just be the go-to, like the first kind of responders, if you will, to events. Just try and be as active as we can. We did used to do a lot of patrols, actually, which would be quite fun. You know, we get sort of 5-6 of us logged, generally all on sort of snubs, and just literally patrol every system, and we'd kind of scout up and down to try and interact with people. And, you know, for the sake of, say, miners in Pennsylvania, you know, we'd park sort of 2 snubs alongside them just to make sure that they felt, you know, safe in role play, and, you know, felt like the Navy was actually there to protect them. So we still do it from time to time, or just try and get a few of us together and log, get with, you know, indies on capitals, and we'll go run sort of PvE events. So yeah, hope that
there you go. So
I do like that you said that, because I remember back with my LN days, we had a couple times like you would even get pinged in the Discord, say, hey everyone, we're hanging out in Pennsylvania helping newbies, you know. And that's you know, not only is that a show of force to new people coming into the community that this is the best Navy fleet in the game, but also what a way to help the newbies out. And I used to love doing that too, up until like a LR or a outcasts or an indie shows up and tries to, you know, they take me out and, you know, then kind of ruins it. But no, I do like that. That you say 46 does that. And, yeah, for sure. If I ever see pings about going to Pennsylvania, helping out with new players, I'll be all over that. If I could, mention again, just from what I've seen, from all the different fleets and whether it's my time in LN or time in 46, is I feel like the fifth is more PvP focused. So if you're wanting to primarily PvP, you'd want to go to the fifth. LN, I feel like the 46 replaced the LN as far as overall encompassing
major.
Yeah, like the fleet. LN, I feel, just failed to adapt to whatever, you know, whether it's a new players coming in, the new environment on the in the community to make them you know, look good or enticing to join. And then the first, they're I don't even know if they're active. I see them popping in here and there once in a while, and you know, of course, Lemon, yeah, he's got some interesting ideas, and
yeah, so that was definitely a Lemon project, and I think it lost a lot of their wind in their sails when he became less active. But yeah, it's kind of similar to my perception. I've seen in my time that 46 has usually been like the go-to point of contact as far as RP activity in Lawful Liberty. Fifth has always kind of been seen by me, at least, as like the PvP counter loggers that would just log for fights and stuff. Whereas LN, I mean, in most of my time has just kind of been, you know, a corpse. But like, not shitting on them, they've just not been super active, you know.
Tell us how you really feel.
RP-wise or anything. No, I mean, if you really want to know, I mean, Liberty has never been my center of focus, of course. I am a player who likes to go where it is not the most common.
You broke up a little bit there, Centaur.
That's okay. I'm not a Liberty player for the most part. I've never been a Liberty player. Yeah. But 46 does seem like it's always been the go-to RP for the past couple of years, at least, as far as Liberty Lawful.
Absolutely.
Because yeah. we'd got a sort of officialdom. I'm going to say it was 2021, because I'd been in the fleet sort of 2 years by that point. And yeah, I think we were just a bit sort of lucky. Sorry, bear with me. We'd obviously, we were at that stage, obviously, you know, trying to achieve officialdom. So obviously, you know, we were active. People were seeing us. People were, you know, we were lucky with regards to sort of recruitment. And even sort of today, many years later, you know, we're still, you know, fairly frequently getting new applicants, which of course is amazing. So I think, yeah, the just having active leadership and members, of course, is crucial to kind of maintaining that kind of steam and focus. And I think the aforementioned, you know, with Fifth and LN, not so much, which, you know, is sort of benefited us in a way, because yeah, we would obviously then, you know, get applicants from people who were maybe tossing and turning as to which of the three to join. So it was a sort of difficult time for the three fleets at that time, and then of course Lemon's first Armada arose, and that became hugely popular, which is again amazing for Liberty. Yeah, it's just one of those things. Just got a bit lucky, I suppose, and yeah, really grateful to, of course, everyone that's dedicated their time to joining with us, of course, and having fun.
You mentioned something, and I wanted to hit on it a little bit. And I see this too, because I joined 46 a couple months back. I did a character change, so one character transferred out, another one apply it in. So I've been with the fleet for a couple months. The one thing that I could say 46 does a really good job. Leadership is visible. That is not the case with a lot of factions, and a lot of those factions tend to lose officialdom, or they just hang on because of time. So that's a big kudos to 46, is whether it's you, Tanner, other leaders that are, you know, sub leaders aside from one IC, two IC, leadership's always there. I've always felt that if I had a question or something came up, I got a response pretty quick. So 46 leadership is visible. That's really awesome.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's one of those things you need to be, of course, sort of be there to be the sort of guiding hand, as it were. Otherwise, you know, it could be a case of not sort of being there, and you get people sort of losing interest quickly. So yeah, sort of being active is always beneficial to any faction, be it official, unofficial. You need, you know, if depending on obviously how your sort of command kind of echelon is structured, you know, if it is a case of you've just got a single sort of leader, as it were, or if you've got sort of one IC, two IC sub leaders from there, it's always beneficial to have active ones, and that goes a long way in discovery.
Definitely. So another thing I'd like to ask you about is your time on. I know you were an admin. Were you a mod as well?
Started off as a moderator for, can't remember how long. I think it was probably about 9-10 months.
Okay.
And then kind of moved into an admin role from there.
Gotcha. So tell us about, you know, coming to staff and your time there, and I know that you're not part of staff anymore. You know, what made that change, and you know where you are now.
A lot of it sort of early doors is sort of learning the processes, sort of learning your responsibilities, your sort of remit, as you will. It takes a fair while to kind of settle into it, and you're just basically there to be another sort of voice on problems, trying to kind of come up with and implement resolutions, or just, you know, generally taking part in discussions at that level.
Gotcha. And you were an admin for a time. When did you stop being admin? Because you haven't been on staff since I've returned. So when did that happen?
I think about a year and a half ago. So I've gone back twice. So I was a moderator, became an admin, left, and then I, after about 6 months or so, I went back to do it again. But a lot of it just sort of time constraints. Working like 60 hours on top of obviously trying to run and do things with, you know, with my own faction, of course. Addition to sort of kind of being the go-to guy in the Liberty government, which is still currently the case. Which is fine, as sort of part and parcel. But yeah, it was just not really being able to sort of commit the time. Sort of working a 12-hour day, coming home, typically spends a couple of hours doing kind of admin duties, sometimes even longer, depending on the workload, as it were.
Yeah. A lot of people don't really consider those types of time commitments and, you know, your obligation towards wanting to fulfill those roles in a good way and still be able to keep up with the discussions that are going on. So,
I'm just now learning that. It's like, and then on top of that, if you have any hobbies that are outside of Discovery, good luck.
Well, yeah, and, and if you like miss a beat, you know, like you'll be at work someday and then one of the threads that you try to keep up with just blows up and you're like, oh my God, it's going to take me like half a year to figure out what they're talking about. Discord is great for communication, but it's not great necessarily for like keeping up with topics.
Yeah, it's
and that is good that you can be, you know, were able to like distinguish that you need to make different plans. So
yeah, that's it. It's sort of just coming to the realization that, you know, in essence you're kind of becoming driftwood and sort of just taking that responsibility to admit it and kind of stepping aside and of course making making space for someone else to move up in your place.
Right. Yeah.
It just seems like the decent thing to do, really.
So you mentioned about go ahead.
Yeah.
You go.
You mentioned about Liberty government. So of course, you know, say what you can. I know the governments are kind of secretive and whatnot. But how active is the Liberty government? Is it pretty much just ran by you, or is it ran by other people?
Well, obviously, there's a collaboration sort of between the one IC and two ICs of official factions. So at the moment, there's, of course, the 46th, First Fleet, so LN, Ajira are in there. There was, you know, AWES, so All World Enterprises and Security.
Oh, that faction sucked.
Yeah, that's a terrible faction.
Settle.
Jeff is going to become vicious.
So, yeah, you know, if there's normally a sort of process to follow. You know, if someone's wanting to build a pub, they'll post for a license request. That'll get pinged into, most of the time. they'll make a post. We'll, of course, raise a vote, you know, which is normally, it's just taken on sort of merit, you know, system, location, purpose. You know, for the most part, we're not too, we certainly don't try to be sticklers about it. If, you know, someone wants to build a pub, you know, we'll accommodate that sort of want, because just to outside sort of touch from it, obviously from the player's point of view, you know, that is something they're wanting to delve into as part of their discovery experience. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we generally try and of course avoid blocking them at that level. And yeah, you know, it might be a case of we might deny a request and they'll build one anyway. And then obviously that then gets broached down in a role play environment through sort of comms and whatnot. So yeah.
Then you have to send in the big guns.
That is it, which we've not had to do up until lately.
Nice.
That was fun. That was my first time. I went head to head with a hegemon in a dreadnought.
I heard that those are your nightmares.
I was losing. I was like, how the hell? I thought it was going to be a simple straight shoot, get them down quick, but nope, that did not happen.
They have infinite HP. Actually, I definitely want to ask them about that decision. Like, I'm very curious as to the process that went into deciding that a hegemon needs to be like as much HP as a station.
it was ridiculous. So I think you are the first guest that we've had on the show that has a strong presence in a government. So I was always intrigued by the idea of having an actual government for each of the houses, and kind of what role that fills with not only fulfilling requests for POBs or if someone wants to have equipment or commodities, you know, have waivers for those and those process go through government, but what also with the story. I've always been curious of how that could work with story. So as far as Liberty Government's role or any other government's role, would you like the role of the government to kind of get expanded a little bit on so that it's more involved with story, or you guys can come up with story developments for Liberty as a whole that could then be whether it's an official event or something that's a buildup for an actual lore event? Have you thought about that, or do you have any considerations for that?
I think the, as a concept, I think it's a, you know, potentially a good idea. I think the difficulty comes, you know, with every house thinking they're the best thing since sliced bread. So I think previously that there has been, you know, that sort of level, maybe not at the government level, because that's more kind of like as a sort of paperwork exercise, if anything. But I think previously there's been times where official factions have been consulted over sort of story elements to, you know, yeah, you know, come up with, like you say, different story aspects for their respective houses. And I think the difficulties were sort of found, in essence, because, you know, no one wants to be on the losing side, of course.
Right.
Which is fair enough, of course, but it's just one of those things. So I think generally, on paper, it's a good idea. I think the implementation of it is the hard part, because, you know, people would need to concede certain points or weaknesses.
Yeah.
So I think the way it's currently handled is kind of the way forward. If you ultimately have that choice removed, or, you know, not even consulted, then you just make do with the dice rolls, as it were.
Yeah, and that's something that I feel like is kind of getting Discovery's pulling away from, is these players that want to win at all costs. I've always kind of viewed as like a broad role play sense that almost like we're in a WWE match, and the winner's already been decided, loser's already been decided. We just have to play the role. I think a lot of times people miss out on that. Now, the day-to-day, of course, with people just running into each other, of course, you're trying to win because you're trying to accomplish your own personal goals, whether it's you're trading and you're trying to get away from the pirate, or you're the pirate and you're trying to make money by pirating the trader. So, you know, you're trying to kind of fulfill your own personal obligations, but yeah, there's definitely been times where people are talking story as a broad sense or as a global sense, and you know, there's a clear agenda, or there's clear favoritism, and then, you know, then you think, well, you can't have, you know, Kusari, for example, taking over all of Sirius. It's not going to be fun for everyone, so they've got to get a little, you know, a little negative against them, and same with Liberty, Bretonnia, Rhineland. So yeah, so you're probably right. It probably won't really work out, especially now we don't really have the people wanting to lean in and do that as much. But that'd be a really cool idea, is if, you know, you got like Liberty Government, everyone kind of fills a role and they respond to comms as government officials. And yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, I remember my first time in Liberty Government, it was a mess.
Yeah. Certainly an experience.
Absolutely. Yeah, yep. Go ahead, Zantor.
I was going to say the only government that I have participated in was Bretonnia for a short time. But I imagine that Liberty, being the most populous faction-wise, has got to be a pretty loud quorum of voices trying to make those decisions. My experience earlier on in Discovery was
Yeah, you broke up pretty bad there, Zentor.
I thought that was just a dramatic pause.
I mean, I just lost him. I didn't mess with him. This will for sure be one of those situations where we're not really recording anymore. It's going to get edited out. I'm going to message him real quick.
Yeah.
Hey, Zentor?
Yeah, I'm seeing your messages come through.
Yeah, we lost you. You start talking, like, after your first sentence, we lost you completely.
Jeez, I don't know what's going on. It must be something local. I shut down everything, like, connection-wise to try and stop that.
I was telling him, I was like, this is one of those examples. We usually don't have to do this, but this is where the recording basically stops, and we will be editing this.
Yeah. Well, I guess you guys can just continue on. I'll pop in where I can.
Sounds good. All right. So, yeah, we were talking about Liberty Government for a little bit. So all your time flying around Discovery, so you spent time on the lawful side, whether it's LPI, Navy, or even on the corporate side, USI. Is there any place in Sirius that you're interested in, or you're like, huh, I wonder what it'd be to fly over there, or any role that you thought about, you know, giving it a try just to see what it's like?
Probably start delving into the unlawful side, which I've started doing recently. Sort of mainly Hessians at the moment, and then, you know, Omegas primarily, and Rhineland and whatnot. So yeah, it's in terms of like lawfuls, I've played basically either military or navy or police character in all of the houses, with exception to Gallia. Maybe try and pick up a character there and come up with something interesting.
So as an AFK trader, what pirates do you fly as?
Just Hessians.
Okay.
So that's normally reserved for sort of big fleet engagements with the Corsairs, DTR, and anyone else we might happen across.
I imagine it's going to be a pretty busy area of the map there once the next patch comes out and they redo the Omegas.
Yeah, it's going to be probably going to be very crazy for sure.
I had a pirate ship I flew around with for a while, and some people didn't catch on to what I was doing, but I was doing reverse pirating. So I'd bust a trade lane and wait for someone to pop through, and I'd be sitting there and be like, "Hey, I'll give you," I forgot what it was back then because it was before the division, but basically today's equivalent, "I'll give you 20,000 credits, don't fly here again." And sometimes they get it. They're like, "Oh, okay, sure. Give me the money and I'll give them the credits." And they're like, "You know, don't fly here ever again," just to be kind of silly. But, yeah. Have you thought about any like niche pirate things to do as you're flying around Red Haitian or anywhere else?
not kidnapping. But there was one, encounter I've had, on a trade run from Cortez to Delta, I think, so pre 5.0, happened across a group of three, I think they were Rogue ID IFF, but not the official faction, and they probably gave me the best pirate encounter I've ever had, sort of in essence holding me hostage, and I sort of said to them, I've not got the immediate money up front to sort of pay the demand, which normally at that point I was sort of expecting just to get blown up and be done with it, But, you know, they made, sort of made it really interesting. They said, you know, oh, I'll get on the comms to the head office, because I was on a Universal ship, and get your boss to wire over the money, which I had done. And I'd also messaged some Navy characters that were online at the time as well. And yeah, they came over, ended up being a sort of fight between those guys. And instead of, you know, just blowing me up, because I'd, you know, very clearly just reported them to the authorities, as it were, they just said, right, get out of here, we're about to be busy, sort of thing. And yeah, I think that was the best sort of unlawful interaction I've had. So yeah, I certainly, you know, maybe something to that sort of line of things, as far as role play. I know normally a lot of sort of traders will complain, you know, about just getting the classic, you know, 50k or die or 5 mil and die sort of pre-econ rework. But
I love pirates that, and not only do they have a niche or they're very roleplay friendly, but also they think on their feet, and so they'd be able to do something like that. That's really awesome. So anyone listening, if you were that pirate, kudos to you.
Yeah, that was probably the best experience I've ever had on a sort of trader, and with it being a pirate encounter. And yeah, just to sort of expand on that, I do think it's difficult. You know, 9 times out of 10, I'm sure pirates are flying around, and you know, they're sort of put into that position because obviously the traders just want to sort of carry on their route. So yeah, it's if you are a trader, try and kind of give back a bit more than you normally would, I suppose. And then yeah, just got to keep rolling with the punches and be creative, and I'm sure your pirating experiences will be sort of just as good.
Yeah, I found it, as a trader for a while there, I've seen a few different players come and go there, especially in the All Worlds faction. And this one guy came through, and he did something that I'd seen a few other players do. He started having crew on his ship. And I don't know if it was the same rogues, but he came across some in Texas, and they pulled him aside, and they started threatening his crew. So he had to choose which one was going to die right there on the spot.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, it was so crazy. He showed me the logs of it later, and he's like, oh, how can I choose? Everybody take a stick. He's like, oh my god. it was a pretty dark RP going on there. But yeah, but since then, and also watching OS&C, the way that they run things, I've always tried to have, if I can help it, I'm not running exact 5k amounts, to have RP cargo on board, like have some gin or have a captain or a civilian pilot, just something that the pirate can look at if you get caught and he's got something to work with, or you can give him something other than just money. At least it's a little bit of, you know, you're providing some role play items there that he can look at besides the 5k of, you know, gold that you have on board.
Yeah, it can add to that sort of extra layer of stuff to sort of use to liven up the encounter a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Really cool.
I never would have thought about that. Pull sticks, short one gets jettisoned out. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, and you mentioned something too. You know, yeah, it's the responsibility of the pirate, you know, to have good role play. Of course, you're going to have the, you know, give money or die, you know, kind of ones. But if you're going to be a good role player, I think it really does start with the pirate. But a lot of responsibility is put on the trader, too, to roll along with it. I mean, there's many ways that you could get away or, you know, just escape the situation. But that's what really makes it enjoyable, is as the trader to put those thoughts aside and play along with it, have fun with it. And that was,
yeah,
one
definitely. Obviously, you know, just getting the money or die, you know, as role play, it's fine if not sort of boring or generic. But yeah, in terms of the responsibilities, it's got to be a both ways. That's sort of how that works. So if you start sort of receiving it, but you're just on a rush to get to the end of your route, which is, you know, it could be you've got time limitations or restrictions. You know, maybe you've got to go somewhere and, you know, do something in real life, which of course is fair enough. But yeah, there needs to be the give and take on both sides of the net, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite one, I got popped by a lane hacker. I was at the Pennsylvania jump gate on the New York side. I was flying into Trenton Outpost, but I stopped there at the gate, and a lane hacker had me yelling all sorts of propaganda and system chat and doing all these weird, funky things. And of course, my ship captain, I was on an Indie at the time. Ship captain was real nervous, of course, and he was messing things up. Lane hacker was getting impatient and, you know, threatening to hurt me. So, you know, I kept screwing up the system chat and everything, and finally got through after spouting all the propaganda that the lane hacker wanted me to spout in system chat. Got through the trade lane to Manhattan, but instead of flying to Trenton, the ship flew straight. And in system chat, I'm typing, the captain, he's freaking out, you know, because the ship's not steering. You know, he's lost control of the ship. Why is it steering straight to the planet? It's increasing speed. No, decrease speed. And suddenly it blew up. And, you know, so that's the role play is the corporation took remote control of the ship, made it crash into the planet because he was spouting all the anti-corporate stuff in system chat and stuff. And
that's awesome.
Lane hacker messes me. He says, I'm in tears right now laughing so hard. those are really fun.
Yeah, definitely makes a better interaction when both sides are fully involved, not just wanting to get it over with.
Absolutely. So Zentor unfortunately is having some connection issues, so he's not really able to communicate at this moment, but he sent me a couple questions he wanted me to ask you. So kind of going back to the Liberty government conversation, he says, with Liberty being the most populous house, faction-wise, is LibGov sometimes arduous or annoying to reach decisions? So is there a lot of back and forth, or is it just pretty much like one consensus and just kind of push things through?
I think for the most part, you know, if not all of the time, you know, we're all equally minded. We generally come up to the same conclusions as each other. So yeah, sort of seldom do we find ourselves at kind of cross swords, as it were, as far as decisions go. Because, like I say, obviously, you know, we don't want to put players in a sort of position where, you know, at our level, you know, we're maybe preventing them from sort of finding their feet in Discovery, if it's a sort of pub or if it's a sort of ship they want to fly. Obviously, there's sort of exceptions as far as ships go. You know, we're not going to approve generally a license for a, say, Rhineland battleship to frequently fly through Liberty, because in role play that just doesn't make sense.
Dude, I just wrote that up. Okay.
What's that?
I spent the last hour writing that up. No. Yeah, I hear you. So, yeah, that's so. What's the most outlandish, if you're allowed to say, what's the most outlandish thing that's kind of come across your desk, if you were?
Can't really say there's sort of anything outlandish, really. You might get sort of, like I say, you might occasionally get a request for a ship that wouldn't really or viably have a purpose to sort of frequent Liberty. Can't really give a specific example.
Okay. So what about Liberty as a whole? Again, another Zentor question he messaged me here. So just asking about like a niche or anything that you've seen within Liberty that needs filled faction-wise or play type-wise. Is there Anything needs filled, and then or do you think that sort of current organic growth there facilitates well enough? So should just kind of get filled naturally, or you know, we're missing corporate factions or more pirate factions? Anything Liberty is missing right now?
I don't think so. With the there's obviously the new Liberty Police group that seemed to play the police as you would expect, which is really good to see, because it's been, has it been two or three years since LPI, the former official Liberty Police faction, sort of went dark. So that's, of course, good to see that side of things filled. And then, we've got, Deep Space Engineering. Is AWO still cutting about, Jeff?
They're on the decline, I think. I don't know how... We'll see what the new patch brings with Innerspace, but yeah, I think they need a little more content before anybody's... It's just too easy to make an indie and go trade. Like, we need a pull, something to pull people into factions again for Innerspace. But so, yeah, they're not getting a lot of action right now.
Yeah.
So as Liberty Navy then, can you see any use for Innerspace Commerce roleplay in that regard?
From a Navy standpoint?
Yeah, like, is there anything Innerspace Commerce can provide to Liberty Navy that...
This is where Zentor would be nice if he was in this conversation, because we talk about Innerspace and...
Oh my god.
There we go.
He's back!
That's all I had to say there. Let's talk about Innerspace. Innerspace in 5Ks. Let's bring that conversation up.
Innerspace needs financial play. They need to be able to utilize smaller ships and more, especially since the dynamics surrounding POBs have grown so much, thanks to Eingar's quote. Like, POBs and Innerspace need to have some really good mechanics. Like, DSC's been playing with stock market stuff, something I've long wanted to play with. I think that if Innerspace was kind of pushed into using smaller ships, medium transports and smaller, and given more expansion to, like, a POB niche in finance, like stocks, that would be really, really, really awesome and unique.
Yeah, I would concur. I know Jeff mentioned that, you can obviously just create an indie if you've got the sort of cash available, buy yourself a 5K and that's you off to the races. You know, you don't really need to sort of consider anything else apart from where you're going to pick up cargo and where you're going to sell it.
Go ahead.
Go on.
Okay. For too long, I see in my eyes has always been like this very vanilla faction that anybody can use to just trade anywhere in the world, because like they're a financial institution. They're like known in all the capital houses. So they're friendly with all, they kind of like go over any current bullshit as far as RP. So they kind of are able to go anywhere. And for a long time, they've been overly abused, in that regard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I just intercede something here that I thought of the other day?
Yeah.
Me now starting this freelancer faction with, I'll just promote it here, like the Interstellar Transit, and being more freelancers, like we were talking before about the neutrality that freelancers have. But with that neutrality comes the 3,600 cargo limit.
Yes.
And then I started thinking, it's like, wait a second, IC has this neutrality, and they've got 5Ks. Like,
why?
There's so many 5Ks around.
And if you read their card, there is no reason for them to be flying around in space truckers. You know, they are a financial institution. Yeah. They are the ones that have funded Ajira's gate projects. They're the ones who have, like, funded, like, military expansion and research projects. They should be, they're insurance, you know, they're finance. They're not space truckers. You know, we need to give them something that actually reflects that.
The only caveat that I have to say, because I did some research into Innerspace Commerce, because I was trying to think of something to get IC up and running somehow, is so in vanilla lore, it does state that that well of money is kind of drying up, so they are leaning more towards actually
logistics,
transporting goods themselves rather than just insuring everything. So, I guess So I guess a good question then to Doc would be is if you got a comm one day, Aerospace Commerce, it, you know, looks legit. It's not like just anyone messing around, but having your ships insured, how would you feel about that? Would it be considered or any thoughts towards that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, you know, you could even sort of expand that further. So 42nd has a pub of our own. So yeah, if you know, that sort of mechanic became available, yeah, obviously logically it makes sense to have kind of insurance on your ships, kind of you know, cover the major damages from battles and engagements and whatnot. Sort of that can't be covered just by, you know, just having it touched up in the Norfolk and what have you. So yeah, I think that would certainly be something that I would like to do for certain.
Yeah, I've touched on this a couple of times. I think that one of two things or both could happen with IC. One is they either produce some kind of insurance POB thing that could be carried around by logistics teams, and if they successfully basically complete a run, they get a bonus of some sort, and it goes away, the insurance policy. That needs to be fleshed out more. Or what DSC has been practicing with internally within their faction, which I think would be interesting to play with on a larger scale, is like an actual kind of hub financial stock market. So teams, factions that are logged into their actual tags that transport goods, the more goods that they move or the more goods that they produce on their POBs is, you know, signs of production. And with the production growth that happens, these stocks would go up. IC used to, back in the day, they would put out this report like every couple of months or whatever, and they would deem different areas of space as like different levels of security, you know, like it's safe to go through Coronado, or it's not safe to go through Coronado because of technocracy raids or something. So they would like rate different areas of space. And if those things could be tied together with production stats, then you could have like this kind of dynamic stock market going on that IC could manage. And that'd be interesting too. But that needs, of course, a lot of work as well.
Yeah, if you're raiding areas, is more dangerous too. I imagine that that Navy roleplay could move in there to try to quell it down to a reasonable level, and then it would adjust the stats back to normal.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of some ideas, but
I'll get off my soapbox now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I hate to turn this into an IC podcast, but yeah, like definitely try because. Well, because so like right now, with the way that the economy's working, I think they've done a really good job of, and maybe this is why piracy is down, but incorporating PvP or PvE play, you know, i.e. Navy or, you know, police bounty hunters with traders. So, you know, manufacturing code names or, you know, I know it used to be back in the day, you know, before the big patch, you know, cloaking devices, things like that. But POBs are producing things that legitimately assist PvPers or people that fight with doing that fighting with guns and things like that. So it'd be really nice to see other things incorporated with that. So, you know, whether it's 46, any other Navy fleet, or even some pirate ships, you know, I see you can maybe dabble in, you know, a little bit of under the table dealings and stuff, but it'd be cool to see that aspect of play incorporated with, you know, just like trading has been incorporated in with fighting, kind of see interspace commerce or that kind of role play intertwine with it.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, that would definitely be cool.
And then we can make LPI start charging taxes on trade lanes. Excuse me. Sorry.
I was kind of thinking that too. You get like an interspace commerce ship right in front of a jump gate where, you know, you go through and there's pirates on the other side, you know, and they say, hey, if you give me 50,000 now, if you have to eject from your ship, I'll give you 100,000, you know? So it's kind of like, if you make it through, great. You know, IC just made 50 grand, but if not, we'll pay you back. You know, double.
Well, I mean, like, I see it can, you know, be more directly involved story-wise with some of the Gate Lane projects that go on, you know, in areas that are seeing story expansion. You know, like right now, Coronado is building trade lanes for Crater.
I tried this in two different sections. I don't want to get off. We're kind of getting off topic into IC here. I never thought I was supposed to be talking Navy, but I tried that in Coronado and in Rhineland, and I basically was told that we have to wait for story. So yeah. It didn't move anywhere.
Huh.
But pinging, Jammy, we're pinging you.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was like, yeah.
So one thing I did want to ask Doctor before we run out of time for sure is, you know, since you are such a primary voice in LibGov and, you know, you oversee a lot of these sort of business requests and projects in Liberty, being as we've made you a guest here on the show, do we all get like a free pass in New York to build whatever we want now?
I mean, yes, you'd be required to follow.
We can't get a quid pro quo. Damn it!
No, there's no Crater base going up in New York anytime soon.
per Liberty House law, this is rule number such and such.
We'll give you a mulligan.
I do gotta say, so Doc and I did a role play, and I think it went fairly well. It was dice roll. It was like dice roll, kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, but we role played something. And one of the bits he quoted the Liberty Navy policy, and I thought, man, that was so cool. Like, that was real smooth. I don't even think I mentioned anything at the time, but I thought that was really cool. He just whipped it out, boom, right here. So the kind of last question I got for you, Doctor, as well. So, Kusari and Liberty kind of seems like things are heating up a little bit. What are your thoughts of another potential house war? Do you want to see like a, you know, 46 going toe to toe with KNF in a full blown, you know, fisticuffs, or do you think it's better kind of like a Cold War thing where the intelligence factions are kind of at war, or just kind of like border fights here and there? What are your thoughts?
Watch out for the hatchets.
Well, ultimately, house wars akin to that of, say, Kasari, Britonia, Liberty, Rhineland, you know, in Gallia invading the towers in Britonia and Kasari and whatnot. Yeah, it's always good for activity. You know, the sort of massive scale fleet engagements are always fun. So of course I'll never kind of turn my nose up to that. But obviously from a story standpoint, it's got to make sense. Mm-hmm. It's you know, you start at that smaller scale. Obviously, like the ongoing event, trade event. You know, obviously the intel, so KOI and LSF can freely engage each other, kind of wherever. So, yeah, I think it's certainly dipping into the kind of not quite Cold War yet. I'm sure that's the sort of come, but yeah, certainly. Both sides of Galileo, you know, you're on high alert and suspicious of the other house, naturally. So yeah, it's always a good thing. Obviously, it has to make sense from a story standpoint. And yeah, you know, there's amazing players on both sides of the fence. So yeah, it's certainly something to likely look forward to in the future, I'm sure, but. Yeah, that's as and when that sort of filters through.
Yeah, we got to see Emperor Takagi reigning over Manhattan. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, Wordy! Come on, Wordy!
Doc is like, not on my watch.
God shall pass.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I do like what you say, and again, kind of incorporating what we talked about before. And with what Zentor just said, I don't see Kusari owning Planet Manhattan At least not anytime soon, regardless of what happens. So, you know, maybe for anyone listening that's involved with the Kusari Liberty, you know, there's an event going on currently, but any future events, you know, have fun with it. You know, it's a big story event. Enjoy it. You know, we talk about once in a while back in the days, you know, we just mentioned it, Rhineland versus Liberty, and kind of back in the day, and a lot of us, that was our first experiences with Discovery. And man, how I'd love to just go back and just spend a day, you know, flying around back in 4.86 and or before, you know, especially with Gallia coming in and attacking and stuff. And, you know, kind of like one of those things, you don't really realize what you have it until it's gone. And then you look back at it fondly. So, it's, you know, everyone that's involved, just, you know, enjoy it.
Real quick, we do have a little word from legal. The podcast and all of its registered trademarks does endorse the legal takeover of Liberty by the Kusari government.
Oh, Doctor just left. He's storming. Okay. Doc, you're wanting to say something there?
Just to sort of touch back to what you're saying from, you know, looking back with rose tinted glasses. Obviously, you know, we're all on the server to have fun and continue our discovery sort of journeys, as it were. Just think it's important to highlight. Obviously, from an in role play kind of viewpoint, you know, of course you're going up against your sworn enemies or whatnot, but just to remember, of course, we're all players, both sides of the fence, on opposing ends of the field, as it were, and yeah, just have fun, be respectful, and GGs and all that good stuff.
Nice.
Absolutely. Well, I like your use of the word journey too. Enjoy the journey, you know?
Yeah.
It's not the destination, it's about the journey.
I did want to touch on again real quick. So Racer recently, or Stugar recently engaged in some RP with Doctor in the 46th, and it was kind of a unique situation that I don't think it's used that often, but I thought it was a really cool compliment for how it was handled. Did you want to touch on that real quick, Stugar, or do you want me to? Just to like explain to people, you know, how it, like, we don't have to go into the details, but the fact that you suggested it and it was accepted.
Yeah, because it's still a little bit of a secret, but so part of that is a kudos to Doctor for willing to do this, but I guess I'll share it. So I had a secret POB that was revealed, and I've always I kind of hinted to Doctor beforehand, just kind of letting him know that there might be a little bit of smuggler roleplay thrown his way. I wasn't gonna tell him where it was or what, you know, what's all happening. Of course, it's kind of in the fog of war, but I'd basically built a secret POB. Well, it was discovered, and right away I messaged Doc, and I had a story written up, and it's just like I don't know if they're called game masters or dungeon masters or whatever, but like Dungeons and Dragons. So I had this little story written up of how things go, expecting, you know, like the Navy or other entities to actually board the station, take a look around. I had Sea Panda as a moderator. Sea Panda kind of filled the role as a dice roller. So of course I can't roll the dice. I'm a participant in this, and Doc can't roll it. I trust Doc, but, you know, just to avoid any future conversations, we needed a third party. So also kudos to Sea Panda for doing this as well. But we sat in a Discord chat and we went through
while in game.
Well, no, just in Discord.
Okay.
So we fulfilled the role play based off of dice rolls. So I had things written out like 1 to 6, you know, they don't see anything. And of course, if they roll a 20, then they see everything. Everything is illuminated, you know, that kind of thing. And story did not go anywhere near what I thought it would go,
which is really cool.
which was really cool. We roll with it, introduce some new dice rolls, and C-Panda filling his role as moderator. He did stop a couple times, so we kind of said, you know, oh, hold on, okay, what's going on, and kind of clear anything up and stuff going on. But the result of that Discord roleplay directly influenced into the roleplay on the forum. So definitely kudos to you, Doc. Sounds like you enjoyed it, and I'm gonna definitely try to do a little bit more of that again with other people, other factions, try to, you know, maybe see if that's something that we'll catch on with Discovery, do a little bit of a random chance, you know, dice roll kind of deal.
And I heard this completely third party through Stugard. He's been keeping me like apprised of the situation. I thought that it was really unique. Like, the answers that were prepared are still in line with possible actual things that would happen. So it's not like completely ridiculous stuff. But I thought it was really kind of fun and unique to go that route. And the fact that, you know, the doctor was able to facilitate that and kind of run with it. And I think that was really cool. So, you know, I haven't been able to tell you this, but props for doing that.
Yeah, it was sort of something different. I mean, from a LibGov viewpoint, you know, we effectively had the base dead to rights and, you know, could go through the usual mechanics and just siege it, in essence. Yeah, just thought it'd be worth maybe just trying something different, kind of see how it goes. Obviously, fortunately for Stugar this time around, it kind of went entirely his way. But yeah, sort of just playing, sort of going into it as William Hawthorne, who's the director of licensing in LibGov, to sort of primarily handle that. After the fact, sorry, it was Secretary McKay, who's the defense secretary, of course, for Liberty initially. Then of course passes it over, you know, because at that stage he doesn't really need to be involved. Once it sort of transpires that the role play basically took a U-turn from how I think we both might have been expecting it, but yeah, again, that's the roll of the dice. So yeah, it was sort of
literally
bit you know, dynamic in that regard, and you know, it just sort of keeps things kind of fresh. Of course, you know, with that sort of thing, it falls to chance functionally. So yeah, what can you do? It's you take a sort of stab. It was, I mean, I had fun. I know you had fun as well, Stuga.
So I did, absolutely.
Yeah, and again, kudos to C Panda for kind of overseeing it as we went through it. It was something different, and yeah, it was quite good.
So I think that leads me into so at the end of the episodes, I like to kind of give like my overall synopsis of what I think of our guest, or, you know, current activities going on by the guest, and just what I see in my feedback. And that's one thing I definitely see out of you, Doc, is your willingness to role play. You always seem to put role play first, which I think is always a plus, especially in a community that is a role play community.
And especially being right at the center of kind of Discovery's hub of activity down in New York and in Liberty.
Exactly. I don't know what kind of flack gets thrown your way, or, you know, if you're a big important figure in such a busy area, what kind of crap, if you will, you know, gets thrown your way. But that's a good testament to you, your vision, your big picture thought, whatever it is that you want to fill in there. You're always role playing, or always thinking of ways to role play. And yeah, of course there's time to fight, and there's time for PvE, and, you know, just kind of, you know, do some missions and have a beer with the buds, you know, that kind of deal. But you always seem to have RP in mind, so that's really fun. So anyone listening that's looking to do any sort of role play with Liberty Navy, you know, Doc's a really good guy. He understands that role play, there's two different sides to it. He's willing to play into your side a little bit if you're willing to play into his side a little bit. So big kudos to you, Doc.
Cheers.
Well,
Jeff, do you have anything else for us today?
I don't think I. Well, actually, I had one question about with the new patch there, how the Navy, given that Zone 21 and the Earhart connection there, is there a lot of roleplay that the Navy does going actually into Earhart and the Uncharted's?
We did sort of initially, sort of less so kind of recently. Of course, anyone present in Earhart can treat it as ZOI, and in our case, kind of enforce liberty law. But yeah, we don't really venture in there sort of too much. We might on occasion, you know, if we think we can either get or give a good interaction, but normally at that point it kind of ultimately generally just becomes either a fight or sort of interdiction. So we generally just kind of steer away from it.
Yeah, I was just curious because there's only, you know, so many factions that can actually get through the Alaska without getting completely blown up as soon as they enter the system. So.
Yeah. People still manage it through various means, but won't give away what those methods are, but you know, if you're not seeing, you can't be shot.
I haven't figured out a way with the freighter yet, but I've got some other ships that I've been able to sneak through, and including one corridor that I didn't realize was there. I kept almost flying straight into the planet a few times. The clouds clear right at the last minute, and the planet atmosphere is right in your face, and had a few jump scares. I think Zentor, we still got to make that trip out there.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a good question. Yeah, because I never thought about that as far as Navy's role with controlling that, not only the gate, but the corridors as well. So, which I guess, yeah, that is a good question real quick. Yeah, I guess for personally me as well. So as a 46, I'm allowed to fly through Alaska as a patrol and flying around and stuff, right?
Yes, you are.
Okay. How about Indies? Indy Navy can fly in there too?
Yeah, Indy Police, LSF, some of the corporations can as well.
Like Ajira.
Ajira, DSE, Universal. So, yeah, the big ones without...
not AWS. We target those exclusively.
Yeah.
Cannon's water. I think all Zentor piloted ships are granted exclusive authorization as well.
Must have missed that memo.
Oh, they got big targets on them.
Mackeson, though, I think the bribe worked, maybe. Anyway, we can edit again, that out, right?
With that, of course, being you know, handled through laws via the Gov, you can, of course, if there is reasonable need and it's you know, remotely warranted, such a thing could be handled with a license request. Or
oh my God, he has to bring the apparatus of government into play.
What a freaking government official, man.
Jesus, pencil pusher over here.
So can you be on the record of give some examples of some role plays that got through?
Why doesn't he write the application for you there, Racer?
Copy-paste.
Copy-paste, yeah.
Fill in the blank.
All right. Well, yeah, that's all the questions for me. Mentor, you got anything?
I think that concludes my interrogations. Doctor, it's been a great time having you on and learning about your area of play and your history here. So thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Before we head out, Doc, you got any last minute words, any plugs, anything?
If anyone's sort of rocking a indie sort of Navy or even police, and you're maybe looking at making that move over to the Liberty Navy, of course, pop an application in. Any questions, you can PM me on Discord or join the 46th Discord. And we've got a really good active member base and leadership, of course. Plenty of experience between the lot of us. And stop on by and say hi.
Actually, that's one other real quick question. Is there also any Discords, like community wise, that are like Liberty, like concentric, that people should know about? Or is it mostly like
particularly? I think the 46th has the most amount of players in it between the first fleet and fifth.
Okay.
So yeah, generally, you know, if there's any sort of alerts for activity, if there's, you know, a sort of fight imminent, generally there's a public ping sort of put
cool.
out.
So, yeah, send me an invite to 46 Discord too, and I can pop in with this episode.
Yeah, I'll grab you that now.
And we could drop the link as well for the application. So yeah, kind of like ditto to what Doctor says. Even if you're a new pilot or you're just nervous, you know, maybe you just don't think you're up to snuff. 46 does a lot of PvE stuff as well. And I noticed that if you're a new player, there's a lot of guides or a lot of people that are around that love to answer questions regarding PvP, PvE, Liberty in general. If you have any sort of niche role play, people give their honest feedback to what they think. So if you're nervous at all, please don't be. 46, really good place to if you're a veteran to continue with your role play experience, or if you're new, to find some new roots and start growing. So
yeah, so we've taken on plenty of people sort of fresh to discovery and role play environments as a whole. So yeah, you know, we've got the sort of time and patience to help you find your feet as a Navy character and sort of help you develop your character in a naval setting.
Cool.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, we all started somewhere.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well,
that concludes another episode of the podcast. We'll see you guys in space.
See y'all. Holla.
Have a good one.